On behalf of the Professional Baseball Strength and Conditioning Coaches Society, I'd like to welcome you to the PBSCCS podcast. I'm your host, Chris Messina.
All right, guys, welcome to the PBSCCS podcast. We're doing a little something different today. We're going to flip the script, and myself, Will Gilmore, is going to interview Chris, who's been hosting this for a year now. So, Chris, why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself?
Will, first off, thank you for reaching out for doing this. It's not something that I really want to do, be on the other side of the camera. I'm a little nervous about it, but we'll get it done. I appreciate you reaching out. With that being said, my name is Chris Messina. I'm currently the AA strength coach in the Red Sox organization up in Portland, Maine with the Portland Sea Dogs. Beautiful area. If anybody ever gets a chance to come visit, it's one of the best places you can ever be, especially in the summer. Growing up, I went to a school just south of Buffalo. I grew up about 45 minutes south of Buffalo. I wanted to be a math teacher in high school and a baseball coach. Didn't really plan out or play out too well for me. My senior year, I decided I was going to be a chem engineering major. My first semester of college, I went to the SUNY Buffalo as a chem engineering major, and I hated it. I'm a big math science guy, but that was a little bit too much math and a little bit too much science for me. So I transferred to SUNY Fredonia, where I grew up. I did my undergrad in exercise science there, played a little bit of baseball, but we didn't have a strength program there. So I did a little bit of personal training, but didn't really get any experience strength and conditioning wise. From there, I went to grad school at Salisbury University out in Salisbury, Maryland, about 30 minutes from Ocean City. They have a team in Delmarva. So small plug, Matt Nine is the head strength coach there. He won strength coach of the year. If you get a chance and you're in Delmarva, reach out to him. The guy is incredible. He'll be very accommodating and you'll learn a ton from him just in one day. Small plug, like I said. So I started there. When I met him, I just met him one day in the weight room. I was lifting and he said, "Hey, you want to volunteer?" I said, "I got no experience, but yeah, sure. I'll come in, volunteer." And so I started working with the freshman football team. My first semester, in that winter, I got certified, and so in the spring, he let me have my own teams. So I programmed for swimming and diving, men's and women's, and that was the first experience I ever had programming. Don't really know if I was doing it right, probably made a ton of mistakes, just, you know, all rookie stuff, but it was fun. I got to learn hands-on, throw me in the fire and roll, and I think that's a great way to learn. Like I said, so Matt really helped us out there. While I was at Salisbury, I interned down at TCU in Fort Worth. And that kind of put me on the path of where I wanted to go in this profession. Zach Dakin is down there. The guy is incredible. And he had a little bit of baseball experience. Matt had some baseball experience. And that kind of pushed me towards working in baseball. I went back to Salisbury for my second year. I was a GA. And then after that, I started in professional baseball with the Pirates organization. I was in the Appy League with the Bristol Pirates. If you ever want to talk about good baseball stories, the Appy League probably has a ton of them from a ton of different people. It's very, very interesting. I thought it was the coolest thing in the world because it was my first year in pro ball and I didn't know any better. And then now I'm in double A and looking back, it was like, man, there's some interesting stuff going on out there. So I spent one season there. It was seasonal. And then from there, I came over to the Red Sox, which is where I am now. My third season here, and I'm loving it. So pro ball has been very good to me. Like you said, I've been hosting this podcast for the last year, and I've met a ton of good people and nothing but respect for everybody in this field, man.
That's awesome. Sounds like you've had quite the little journey in baseball so far.
Yeah, man, this is my fourth year in pro ball, but I've seen a lot, met a lot of people, and this podcast has definitely helped open me up to new people in the game, and the ideas that are floating out there and the people that are helping our athletes are, like I said, it's all good people and all good things for the future of this profession.
So how did you come up with the idea for this podcast?
I mean, I'm a big podcast guy. I listen to podcasts myself, and there wasn't really anything out there baseball specific. You can listen to football, soccer, hockey, basketball, really anything, but there wasn't much for baseball. And so the president of the PBSCCS, Brendan Huttman, was the head strength coach with the Pirates when I was there. So I had a little bit of a relationship with him. I reached out and told him, hey, I want to do this. I made two sample episodes. I sent him the episodes. It's like, I'm really serious about this. And we went through a whole series of creating a committee of strength coaches, and just going through some interviews and making sure, okay, you need to stay in this lane, try to ask this, ask that, reach out to these people. I think more than anything, they were just testing how committed I was to it. And that was probably... that was in January, and then the first episodes came out in August. So from January to August, it was just prepping, getting everything ready, making sure we're going down the right path, and convincing them that I was in this for the long term. And from there, it's just been rolling, man. Everybody that I've reached out to has been more than willing to be on the show. I've had two people tell me that they couldn't do it, and it was legitimate reasons. So everybody else has been, you know, let's roll, let's get it going. Finding time in season isn't always easy, so I try to record a bunch in the off season or when I have, you know, some downtime, but I try to knock out at least one per road trip just to keep me on pace. So this would be my one for this road trip.
So. Yeah. Well, based on your conversations over the last year, have you gotten a sense of where strength and conditioning in baseball is headed?
So when you sent me this, I really had to sit down and think about it. I don't necessarily know where the future is in the sense of maybe programming, X's and O's, all of that stuff, just because everybody I've talked to has their own twist on things. In general, we're all kind of doing the same basic stuff, you know, squatting, hinging, pushing, pulling, carrying, you know, soft tissue stuff, all that stuff. We're kind of doing the same stuff. But everybody has their own twist, which is cool. That's, in my mind, that's awesome that people are trying different things. And if it doesn't work, you discard it, you go somewhere else. And so I don't know if there'll ever be one future, like, best program in baseball. But I don't know if there should be either. You know what I mean? Then it's not as exciting for the field. With that being said, like I said, everybody I've talked to is a great person. And is very open-minded to talking shop and sharing ideas. So in that aspect, the people that are taking care of the players, the strength and conditioning coaches, are all pushing for the same thing, taking care of their athletes, getting the best out of them, giving themselves every day. So I think we have the right people in place to push this progression as a whole forward in baseball. But I don't necessarily know where that future is in terms of specific X's and O's, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So you're saying that the theme is more so caring about people, how you treat them, how you deal with them on a daily basis, more so than 3x5, 3x10, what you're doing on the floor.
Bingo. Because you can have that program set up and then you end up in Bristol, Tennessee, and you got no weight room and one med ball, and you got to figure out what to do.
Exactly.
So like I said, it's more just we got the right people in place, people are pushing the field, and the importance of this field is kind of the big theme that I've heard from other people. It's just 5-10 years ago, strength and conditioning was just looked at as you know, nothing, and now managers and front office are really putting stock in the people that are taking care of their athletes. So we're moving in the right direction in that sense.
Awesome. What advice would you give to a graduating college student who's looking to get into the field? And conversely, is there any advice you would tell that person to ignore?
Oh, that's a good one. So I'm going to have a grad student shadowing me here in our next road trip, which is actually exciting for me. I've never had it. He's a kid that I had when I was a GA. He was a ball player. And so for me, advice would be reach out. There are a ton of good people in this game. I know I keep saying that, but I genuinely mean it. And he reached out to me and said, hey, can I shadow you for a game or for the series? And I said, you can come the whole series. You can stay in the hotel with me. I want you to get the full experience. So if you can, reach out, try to get the experience. And if they won't let you come in and, you know, see how everything works, at least they'll talk shop with you and they'll answer your questions for you. So if you want to know what baseball is like, talk to somebody that's in baseball. Advice to ignore. I don't know if there's necessarily anything that I'd say here. I think you got to kind of figure things out for yourself. Something that someone tells you might apply to you and it might not apply to me the same way. So maybe just filtering out information, you know, make sure your sources are right. And I'd say maybe not just take advice from just anybody out in the streets. If they haven't experienced baseball, then, you know, you might have to take that with a grain of salt versus somebody who's been in the game for a while. So maybe just keep a filter on what advice you take in more so than anything specifically not good for you.
Right. Yeah, definitely make sure you're taking care of your sources.
Yeah.
All right. So you said you're pretty big into the podcast. That got you on the idea of doing this one. So where do you go for continuing education? What are your favorite resources?
So I'm a big reader and I'm a big podcast guy. And in Portland, that's perfect because we have many bus rides that are 8, 10, 12 hours. So if I'm not sleeping on the bus, I'm listening to a podcast or reading. So for me, podcasts, I have a ton of them. And with continuing ed, podcasts or reading, I try to mix in like a leadership motivational type one, strength and conditioning / work related, and then a for fun. So I'm going to name a ton of these, and I'm sorry in advance, but they're all useful to me. And like I said, take it with a grain of salt on advice. Listen to them. Don't listen to them. The West Side Podcast, I love Louis Simmons. I think he's absolutely brilliant. He's got, I mean, if you listen to him, there's a lot of things kind of repeat, and those are his core values and his core beliefs, but they work. So Louis is the man. And if you've never listened to the Louis, specifically on the Joe Rogan podcast, that's going to open your eyes to who Louis really is. The Central Virginia Sports Performance Podcast with Jay DeMayo, big fan. Jay's just genuinely like fascinated with everybody he talks to, so it's fun to listen to. The Physical Prep Podcast, that's Mike Robertson's. Iron Game Chalk Talk with McKeefery. I just started listening to the Just Fly Sports Performance within the last year. I think you actually recommended one of those to me, and I listened to it.
The guy from Cal.
Yes. So from there, I've been listening to that one, knocking those out, and he's got like really, really good questions, really good information, and good coaches on there. So that's a good one. So those are all my strength and conditioning. For fun, I listen to Sword and Scale. I don't know if you've ever listened to Sword and Scale, but it's like a true crime podcast. If people start listening to it and they're like, all right, wait a minute, he actually listens to this. Just don't judge me on it. it's an interesting podcast. It's things that you never really thought happen in real life. They do. And it kind of opens your eyes to just, maybe I don't know the people around me as well as I think I do.
Interesting.
Just don't judge me if you start listening to it. And then the other one, I think I've talked about it on here before, is Coffee Break Spanish. Just trying to learn Spanish. It's relevant in baseball. So that one's been good for my Spanish. So I know that's a lot of podcasts, but it's a lot of different options for you. If you don't like strength and conditioning, you can listen to true crime podcast episodes or Spanish episodes.
Yeah, you got to mix it up a little bit.
For sure, for sure. So like I said, podcasts and books, man. I got a ton of books too if you want for fun, strength and conditioning or leadership, but maybe start at the podcast.
Well, is there one book or resource that you've recommended to other coaches or a player the most?
That one's tough. I'll give you one for each category. How's that sound?
Okay.
Leadership. Perfect. Or motivational, probably Extreme Ownership. Most people have kind of read that one nowadays. It's become a little bit like mainstream, but it really does apply. Strength and conditioning, my favorite one is Never Let Go, Dan John. I think anything Dan John writes, I relate to. He just keeps things simple, and you're reading it and you're like, he's right. Like, it's just so easy and so simple, but it works. So anything that he writes, I get my hands on and read. And then for fun, my favorite book of all time is The Alchemist. So I want to say, okay, The Alchemist, but I'll throw another plug in. The Keys to the Batter's Box, Sean Powell, the AAA strength coach with the White Sox, wrote it, and it's incredible. It's just a couple years of him just having dugout talk with the bat boys, and they're like high school age kids, and the conversations that he has are just absolute gold. Sean is really, really funny. And so I would say, if you want to look at like the funny side of baseball, just check that one out. It's like a one bus trip read. It's really, really funny. So I'll give Sean a little plug there. I'm trying to get him on the show to talk about the book, but he's a busy man. So we'll see in the future if I can get him on about it.
Awesome. All right. So moving into more of the travel essentials. When you're going onto the road, what do you put in your travel trunk?
So we have adjustable power blocks, the adjustable dumbbells, bands, all sizes, big bands, little bands, the mini bands, a vest, a TRX, and then I bring a bench with me as well. And we can get a pretty damn good session in with all of that stuff. I mean, truthfully, you can get a good session in with just about anything. Oh, and med ball. I didn't say med ball, but there's a med ball in the trunk as well. If you got body weight, you can get in a session with body weight. If you got just a vest, you can get in a session with a vest. What, you know what I mean? Whatever it is, we can get a session in. But I think with those, we get a lot of good stuff done, between dumbbells, med ball, vest, a bench, and bands, TRX. We knock it out pretty good. So
this is a big minor league baseball thing. I'll set up a scenario for you based on that traveling gym that you bring with you. It's a Sunday day game on the road, so you don't have the gym. Previous pitcher from the night before needs to get his workout in. Can you give us the process of how you go about setting up that workout, and what are you going to do with him?
Of course, yeah. So in AA, AAA, big league, so from AA up here, we have lifting cards for the guys. So I'm going to take his card. I'm going to follow as closely as I can with the with what I have. So he's going to run through activation. He's going to run through core, which the mini bands and the regular bands come in play there. And then we're going to roll through his workout. So if he's got squats that day, he can goblet squat. If he's got RDLs, he can RDL the power blocks. If he's got, you know, different lunge patterns, he can put the vest on and do lunges. Like I said, we can pretty much knock out anything with this trunk. So if he's got, you know, some sort of squat, a corrective, and then some sort of hinge, we can make it work. If it's got to be broad jumps or vertical jumps or banded broad jumps, so be it. If it's even like a kettlebell swing, you can take the power block and do swings with it. If you want to do elevated step-ups, have him stand on a step and do some step-ups. If it's a day two guy and he's got a side, he's going to do the same process, do his side, do his shoulder program stuff. He's going to activate, do his core work ahead of time. And then, like I said, we got the bench, so if he's benching, so be it. If he's got push-ups, put the vest on, do the push-ups. He can do rows with the bands or the power block or the TRX. If we got an area, we can do pull-ups. There's a lot of places that you can find to do pull-ups. It's funny, I actually posted a picture from Altoona on my Instagram the other day, and somebody commented on it and said, "You can do pull-ups on the roller coaster out in right field." I haven't ventured out that far, but I 100% believe it. That's the beauty in baseball, man, is you really have to think on your toes and get creative with your workouts. And that's what I'm telling you, man, is the strength coaches in this game just know how to adjust on the fly. And that's a huge part of the game, is being able to adjust, constantly adjusting to weather, to schedule, to travel, extra innings, late night, rain delays, whatever it is, you have to be able to adjust. And you're limited by your creativity, man. You really are. Like I said, we have the essentials in the trunk, but if I need to, I have the ability to be creative and find things that work for us. If I have a good story for you. I don't know if this is okay, going to cut into perfect. One of your yeah. questions. But we were on the road, and Clubby had a shopping cart for loading and unloading the bus, and there's a hill
okay.
for the bus to come down. This isn't a player story, but the coaches and myself, we went to the field, and we didn't work out that day, and we were like, let's put the power blocks in the shopping cart and do sprints up the hill. And it's like, all right, well, whatever. So you put the blocks in there and you do hill sprints with a sled, so to speak. And we got it done. You know, it was a good workout. We're sweating yep. hard. It was, you know, summertime, so sun's out, getting a little tan going on and everything. But you're really limited by your own creativity on the road. Ideally, you can get in the gym, and most of the other guys will let you come to their gym and use their weight room. But like you said, Sunday day game, you got a kids game, 11:30, get to the field at 9, stretch and roll. Like, there's not a ton of time to get over there when you have other things going on as well. So limited by your creativity.
Yeah, you really got to think outside the box, especially at those lower levels.
Yeah, absolutely. I learned that real fast when I was in Bristol.
All right. Well, Chris, are you ready for a little fire round?
I'm ready, man. This one I am a little bit nervous about because I had time to prep for the other questions, but let's see what you got.
Okay, first off, who has been the biggest influence on you in strength and conditioning?
I got three. I know you said the biggest, but I'm a big categories guy, so I'll break it down into categories. Pro ball, Joe Hughes with the Pirates. When I first started, he was kind of the guy who showed me the ropes, and he's always two steps ahead of you. He knows what's going on. He'll put you in a scenario just to see how you react, and then after the scenario, he'll say, well, did you think about this detail? And you're like, I didn't. But now I will in the future. So Joe is my pro ball. College setting specifically, Zach Dakin down in TCU. I mentioned him earlier. I never really truly told him how much I appreciated what he did. I was kind of the awkward, quiet intern who was just taking everything in. But when I'm quiet is when I'm learning. It kind of comes off as, oh, he's not paying attention or whatever. But I was soaking everything in. And then when I went back to grad school as a GA, I was able to apply what he had taught me. So I never really told him how much I appreciated it, but he really was a huge influence on who I am. And then in general, just overall, Matt Nine down at Salisbury, like I said, he gave me my start. He saw me in the weight room one day, just probably doing curls or who knows what, and said, hey, come under my wing, come learn the ways of strength and conditioning. You'll do well in this field. Here's your shot. Show up on Monday.
Awesome.
And I was like, all right, I don't know anything, but let's roll. Let's do it. And super high energy guy. Like I said, if you're in Delmarva, you get a chance to go over to the university and speak with him. 5 minutes in the room turns to 2 hours in the room of just talking shop, and the energy in the room just rises when he's rolling. So he's always looking for people to talk shop with. So if you're in Delmarva, Matt is your guy to talk to. But those are my big three that have had a huge influence on me and who I am now.
Perfect. That's awesome. Number two, if you don't have a barbell, what is the one piece of equipment you would use to work out?
I'm inclined to say probably kettlebells. I've been using a lot of bells lately, swings and presses and all of that stuff. When I ask people the question of one piece of equipment, in my mind, it's barbell. If not, and I want to, you know, do everything I can, it's kettlebell. And then we went to Altoona, and they had a reverse hyper there.
Okay.
And that one might be my, like, sleeper essential piece of equipment. But universally, I'd say, yeah, barbell would be my choice. If I don't have barbell, I'm going kettlebell. But don't sleep on the reverse hyper.
All right. Number three, what is your biggest accomplishment personally or professionally?
Personally is definitely, getting married. My wife has been an incredible, incredible, person for support for me. We've been together 8 years in July, which coming up pretty soon here. But yeah, she's just been there through it all with me. She lived in Spain for 9 months, and so we know the distance thing. And when I got into pro ball, it was, you know, it was either her or I wasn't going to get married. This is a tough life to bring somebody into who doesn't understand what's going on. And so we've had many sit down talks of, this is what it's going to be like, this is what we're going to go through. If you're not okay with it, like, we need to, you know, split this now. And she's been supportive the whole way. And, you know, like, she's another person that I've never said, you know, never truly expressed how thankful I am, but I am thankful for everything she's done for me. She takes care of the dog when I'm on the road, and the house, and goes shopping and cooks. And it's incredible, man. Another piece of advice, just find a good support system, and don't let them get away. So for me personally, us getting married was, you know, the best day of my life, and every day since then has been the best day of my life. She's a rock star. If you ever meet her, she's a rock star. Professionally, man, I don't know if I have anything. I when I ask this, I think back to Morgan Gregory's, who he said he believes in fluid success. So he doesn't have a goal, and then once he gets there, he's like, well, I did this. I don't have anything to prove now. It's more of, okay, I have a goal, I get there, I have a goal, I get there, I have a goal, and then I just keep moving. So professionally, I don't know if there's anything that I've done that's overly spectacular, but maybe someday I'll have an answer for that. But right now, I'm just going to keep chugging along and hopefully get to where I want to be someday.
There you go. All right. Next one. If you weren't a strength coach, what would you be?
Well, I wouldn't be an engineer. I found that out the hard way. Nah, man. Honestly, I'd probably revert back to my original plan of math teacher slash coach of some sort. Maybe I'd sneak in and run the weight room too. But I think it's just in our blood, man. Strength coaches, we just want to help people and educate and make an impact on people. And I think that's kind of where I'd be. I like math a lot. And I think being in a high school setting and helping kids of that age, take something that most kids don't like. You know, I talked to my brother, he's 14 and he doesn't like math. But when I'm home and he's like, I need help with math homework, I'm sitting there just like, oh my God, this is so exciting for me. And he's looking at me like, why do you like math so much? And I'm like, it's just focus on the homework, you know, but I'm able to help him with his homework, and you know, he appreciates it. And I think that's just in all of our blood as strength coaches, is just, we like to help people any way we can. So if I couldn't be in the weight room, I'd be teaching math somewhere, coaching on a baseball field.
Definitely. All right. And last but not least, would you rather win a World Series ring or the World's Strongest Man?
Oh, man. Wow, that's a major curveball. That hits me right in the feels too, because you know I like strongman. Oh, that's so tough. I'm inclined to say the World's Strongest Man. I think there's a lot of good effort, and you know, that's kind of the pinnacle of the work that we do is winning the World Series. And it would be very rewarding to win a ring, just, you know, for anybody, just what we go through in the minor leagues and grinding it out. And, You know, the long bus trips and the no gym lifts and the peanut butter and jellies and all that stuff. So that's very rewarding, but that takes a whole team effort. And I think strongman is very you versus the weight. And so if you were able to master that and be the world's strongest man, that goes to show, you know, a lot about who you are in terms of just your mental capacity to you know, put yourself through some pain and come out stronger on the other side type of deal. And plus it looks cool when other people get to see you towing an airplane or whatever. Like, I just watched the world's strongest man. I'm like, these guys are incredible. Just absolute monsters, like pulling airplanes and throwing rocks. And just, there's just something about it that's cool and kind of takes you to a different place. So I'll say world's strongest man, but that is a very good question.
That's awesome. I like it. Well, Chris, that's all I got for you. Appreciate you letting me flip the script on you a little bit and letting us see what you've gained over the last year of these interviews.
For sure, man. It was a lot of fun. And now I know how everybody feels on the other side, so I can have a little bit of empathy and say, hey, I was in your shoes very recently. So appreciate you reaching out to me and getting me on and doing this, man. It's been a fun year, and I'm looking forward to another year and another year and another year after that of doing these interviews and getting the information out. We got unbelievable coaches in this field, and I'm looking forward to the future for sure.
All right, everybody, that concludes this episode. I hope you enjoyed this one. I wanted to say thank you again to Will for reaching out and hosting and doing this. It wasn't something I was planning on doing, but it was pretty cool to be on the other side of the microphone. So thanks again, Will, for reaching out way back in December and setting this up with me and getting it done. And I think it turned out great. With that being said, that concludes also our first year of the podcast. I wanted to say thank you to all the guests that have come on and taken time out of their busy schedules. As most of you know, strength coaches in baseball are pretty busy, so it means a lot to me that all these coaches would take time and speak with me and put out the content that they have. Also, I want to say thank you to all the listeners. It's been a great first year for me and for the podcast, and I can only expect it to go up from here. And all the listeners are a big part of that. So thank you to everybody that's been a part of this in the first year, and hopefully you've enjoyed it, and the next year and the year after that and the year after that and so on are just as good or even better. With that being said, I hope you enjoyed this episode, and we'll talk to you again on the next one.